Let's talk a little bit about radiation therapy for head and neck cancer. Can you talk about some of the new advances and to what extent they're being utilized right now in the community setting?
My experience over the past few decades is there's probably greater variability in the delivery of radiotherapy for head and neck cancer than almost any disease site in the body. There are training programs that really take very different philosophies on what nodal areas you treat, what margin you put on a tumor, how you set up a patient. And the new technologies don't change that, but they make the whole paradigm of treatment more complicated. Intensity modulated radiation has revolutionized the delivery of treatment to patients with head and neck cancer, perhaps more than any other disease in the body. And it requires tremendous attention to detail on the part of a radiation oncologist. What a radiation oncologist has to do to be good at it is not only be able to define where the tumor is, but where the high-risk and moderate-risk lymph node stations are. But it even involves radiation oncologists understanding how to define areas where you want to have normal tissue avoidance. What dose is safe to give to the lips? What dose is safe to give to the nostrils? And when we just did lateral opposed fields, we didn't have to think about that. But now that we're doing treatment from a sort of a 360 degree of possibility, you have to decide how much you're willing to give the brainstem, the posterior fossa, and so forth, which really has made it exciting but very challenging. But right now, with a dedicated team of radiation oncologists, radiologists, surgeon, physicists, and a treatment team, it's really possible to give effective and potentially curative therapy with less morbidity than we could a decade ago. And that's really the bottom line. And it also allows for a more synergistic integration with chemotherapy as well.
What do we know about the quality of radiation therapy that's given for head and neck cancer in the community?
I think it's probably variable. And this is probably one area where the variability really has to do with the experience of the physicians and the team. Clearly, there's evidence in many diseases that the more experienced a team has, the more effective they are. I think this is clearly the case there. There are some really outstanding community teams, but if you have a community oncology practice of two or three or four people, my advice would really be to get one of them or no more than one or two to really focus on a disease like head and neck cancer, because you really do need to be dedicated to take the time to really learn. And there's some tremendous work done by Dr. Cliff Chow down at MD Anderson in defining seminars in contouring. There's some interesting software being developed that allows auto contouring of normal structures. And these are really some of the steps that need to go forward to allow more and more people to do this at the highest level of possibility.
When you compare the therapy that's given by somebody who, for example, specializes in this in a tertiary center to someone out in the community, maybe without as much experience, is the difference more in the toxicity, anti-tumor effect that's projected, or both?
I don't know the answer to that, and I don't think anyone studied it. One interesting report we put out a few years ago, Neil, was that in order to do an IMRT plan within an RTOG head neck field, each center, whether community or university based, has to take a dosimetry phantom. So it's a phantom with dosimeters in it at both what are considered hypothetical normal tissue sites and the tumor, are given a particular radiation plan to do. You execute it, and then you ship the phantom back to Houston to the Radiologic Physics Center. And we were surprised that in the first run-through, even with anonymous centers, some of which were high-quality community centers, some of which are high-quality university centers, the results were not very good. And we were somewhat disappointed at the radiation dose coverage for many of those phantoms. So we've got a lot to learn. And these were some of the very best and most enthusiastic centers doing the first run-through on the phantom. So there's a lot to learn, and I think we'll continue to learn it. But I think if a physician in radiation oncology wants to be good at it, he or she needs to spend a lot of time, go to the courses, understand contouring, and really take the business pretty seriously.